Hi. Okay, this is the meeting of the National Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board for November 10th, 2009. I'm the chair, Jamie Ross, calling the meeting to order at 8:38. And let's see. At the moment, our secretary, our Paul Martin, is not here. He'll be with us in a little while, so I'm going to call the roll. So I'll go from east. I'll go from west to east. Let's see, Grace Aaron?
Here.
Okay, thank you, Grace. Summer Reese?
Here.
Okay, Brian Edwards Tiegert?
Here.
Okay, Sherry Gandelman?
Present.
Okay, let's see, Susan Young?
Here.
Susan, okay. Alberto Luera? Alberto? Okay, no Alberto. Luzette King? Luzette? I heard Luzette. Luzette, are you here? Yes.
Did you call my name?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Sorry.
So I know that you're here. Okay, good. Campbell Johnson? Okay, no Campbell. R. Paul Martin is not here. Jamie Ross is here. Okay, and LaVarne Williams said she cannot make it this evening. Okay, so that's seven people, and we have a quorum. That's good. So for tonight's agenda items, we have the KPFA budget, which I hope you all have, the WBAI budget, and then any other budget items.
Point of information, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we know why LaVarne can't be on the call? And
yeah, she sent us an email with.
Could we try to schedule at such a time that she can be available? I think it's important for the CFO to be on the NFC calls.
Yes, it would be good. But you know, I actually some of the fault here is mine. I forgot to notice this meeting on KPFTX.
Is that going to put us in some sort of trouble with notice requirements?
Well, if somebody wants to...
There's always somebody, Jamie, you know that.
We mentioned it on the meeting last week, so it was, in effect, noticed.
Okay.
Anyway, so then any other budget items? Then we have year-end
report.
Yeah, I just want to run through the agenda items first. Then we have year-end report by NFC, legal costs from PNB members, response to information requests from management, and then Heath account repayment. So those are your agenda items. Okay, yes, Lizette?
I just wanted to clear up something just in case it's misunderstood. The email that LaVarne sent, she actually asked for a day to set the meeting on a day when she can be available. So
why don't we do that?
We need to note that.
All right. Well, would people like to reschedule?
Did she specify any days that might be appropriate for her?
Actually, I think she said, let me see.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah. So... I mean, that means that she wants to meet.
Jamie,
you're always with some
okay,
risk.
Let's take a stack here on this issue. Lizette, why don't you finish up, and then we'll go to the other people.
I don't want any sniping remarks, because if I start sniping, there might not be a meeting.
Yeah, we don't want any sniping.
This is Summer. I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, Summer, I hear you. Lizette, are you done there?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, I heard Sherry and I heard Summer. Sherry?
A point of order here. You should convene the meeting, and then if someone wants to adjourn it or continue it to another date, you do that in the meeting, not before you start the meeting.
Well, actually, I believe that we're started.
Oh, we're started? We're on stream?
Yeah, we're on stream.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, we called the everything. We're doing the agenda, and Lizette has pointed out that one of the members has requested, the CFO has requested that we meet next week. And now, anyway, we had a comment from Sherry.
Yeah, Jamie, I wanted to know the impact. Well, I'm in my car, so I'm not at a computer, and I'm not looking at the agenda if questions come up, and I have to comment right now. But I wanted to know the impact of our postponing again the budgets, if we could approve the budgets that are available to us. I'd like to at least ask for the fiscal responsibility of the foundation, and then unless there's good arguments put forward as to why we shouldn't do that, and maybe just deal with the two budgets, if you believe they're in a posture for approval.
That's a good point. I actually tend to agree that we should go ahead with the meeting this evening, but we can hear from the other members. Let's see, Summer?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that's, you know, an assessment of whether the budgets are ready to go forward or not. In the hopes of achieving some sort of harmony, if there are certain people that wish to snipe at the CFO for not being on the meeting, and the CFO has indicated that ahead of time that this was not a good day, but she could be available shortly, I think it needs to be an issue of whether this is going to be an issue throughout the meeting tonight in terms of approving these budgets. If there are going to be lots of questions where it's like, well, I wish the CFO were here so we could answer this, well, then we should postpone until next week. If we can get through the budget and most of the things are self-explanatory or the people from the signal area can explain anything, then we should go forward and ask her questions next week. I think it should take it from a pragmatic perspective when we go forward without her this evening. Is it going to be a constant issue, in which case we should postpone so it's not to waste time. So.
Okay, thank you, Summer. I hear you. Thank you, Summer. Yes, okay, next person is Susan.
Yeah, I do think that we should be scheduling with LaVarne's availability in mind, absolutely. I think that is critical. So I would favor postponing until a time when she can be joining in the call.
So that's on the stack.
Okay, so we have, I guess, a motion to postpone. Okay, Lizette.
Brian here.
I might add, too, that in that email, and I'm surprised a lot more people didn't read it, she mentioned something about her mother, and a lot of us know that she does have an ailing mother, and that's why I didn't take kindly to any sniping.
Okay, thank you, Lizette.
I object to being called sniping. I asked, that was all, and I got back into my home, and the email arrived after I left my office.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Susan. Yeah, we shouldn't ascribe motive to other people's comments. Okay, let's see. Now we had Brian.
Well, I'm concerned that we're, like, close to out of time. As I understand, the purpose of the WBAI portion of our meeting tonight is that we were going to do a first look over through the budget. We have it for the first time, just so we could surface any questions that this group has so that the people working on that budget can address them as quickly as possible. I certainly wouldn't propose a vote on it at this time, but I think the process would be served by us going through it in detail tonight and flagging anything we think needs follow-up or needs to be answered in the future. I certainly wouldn't want to postpone that portion of the meeting. KPFAs we had pretty much talked through over the past couple meetings. We just needed a form with the blanks filled in to bear that out. But, you know, I would say we should go ahead with the meeting, and if there's any particular item of business that we get to where folks feel that we shouldn't take action without the CFO present, then that they move to postpone that item of business to the next week.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, thank you, Brian. Hi there, Alberto.
I'd like to get on the stack, and at the same time, I'd like to make my presence known so that our wonderful secretary, R. Paul Martin, take notice of that.
Actually, that's me, because he is not here.
Oh, no. Are we expecting?
You're on my little list.
Are we expecting him at any point in time today?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know which one. Okay, why don't you?
I agree. Since I got on the stack, I agree with Brian Edward Sticker, that we should proceed with going over the KPFA budget and start looking at the WBAI budget and make use of the time that we have available for us for the next hour and a half or 2 hours. So I think we should move on.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. Yeah, I'd just like to weigh in. I'd like to bring everybody's attention to the fact that last week, I believe it was last week, we approved a KPFK budget without the CFO here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, you know, we can do some of the work, and if there's stuff, you know, if there's issues that we can't resolve, we can write them down and bring them to her attention, you mm-hmm. know, and we can deal with them next.
This is Summer. Can I say one of the things?
And I also agree with the fact that we're, first of all, the budgets are so late. We shouldn't. I don't want to spend any more. I don't want to delay it if we can get away, if we can get around it. And also, we are. This committee's running out of time. You know, pretty soon we're going to start losing members. So I would favor not postponing, but it's just, you know, noting any issues that we need the CFO's input. We may have to, you know, write down some questions, deal with them later. Okay, Summer?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And if everyone who was on this committee last year recalls, we had the majority of our meetings without the participation of the CFO, and
right.
we still managed to approve budget. So, yeah, I mean, but I think we do have to vote on Susan's motion, right? Even though
well, we could, yes.
Or we
do.
Could just do consensus.
Yes, so we have a motion to postpone. Is there any, Susan, do you still want to bring this motion forward?
I'm okay with what appears to be the will of the committee that we go forward and discuss the WBAI budget and any other matters and not make decisions. I just wanted to acknowledge that the CFO has requested that we schedule in a way that is permits her to be available, and I think that's important.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Okay. So let's see. So it sounds like we agree that we're going to go forward. So the first agenda item is the KPFA budget, and we have just been sent a revised version, which I hope you all have, or at least those of you with computer access have. And I believe the only major change here, I'm still confused, actually. I mean, I don't want to hold it up anymore, but wasn't it supposed to be major donor that this number was supposed to be put in, Brian?
Is it off the line? Looks like
yeah,
it, yeah.
It's on donation, right? Because we have another one.
Oh, well, no. So, okay, the general ledger code 5752 we had never used before.
Oh,
we were using 5001 for major donors of the larger variety.
And where did the smaller variety go into listener support?
That had been in listener support in previous years.
Oh, I see.
So how was the issue resolved, Brian?
We're resolving it.
How is it presented, please?
Well, okay, so if you compare the above 5,000 major donors, in 2009 there's 203,000 and change in actuals, and in the budget year it's 216,000. So the budget is a small but negligible increase. If you compare major donors below 5,000, you don't get any basis for comparison out of the budget because we
right.
didn't book them on a separate line last year. However, we did an account analysis from MEMSIS of the categories that they're asking us to categorize as major donors below 5,000 going forward, and that would have been in fiscal year 09, about 165,000 out of our reported listener support. In our budget year, it's 110,000.
This is Summer. Can I ask for a clarification?
Please.
Sure.
When you're saying major donors below 5,000, and is that above 500? I mean, how are you classifying major donors?
No, it's below 5,000, and as a result of a one-on-one ask. So it's automatically precluded if it comes through a fund drive
okay.
or a direct mail appeal.
So you're counting all donors that don't come through those types of fundraising actions?
I wrote it up in the email I sent out to the committee last week.
Okay.
There's a G category in MEMSIS, general
okay.
category, which is for basically unsolicited donations that come in that aren't attached to a pledge or a direct mail campaign or anything.
Okay.
And then this would also capture smaller bequests and estate gifts.
So they're not necessarily major donors, but they're all non-fundraising related bequests and gifts. Okay.
That's how they're categorizing that line.
Okay, great.
That's okay. Our direction from the national office.
Okay. Are there any other questions with regard to this budget?
Just a quick one, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Brian, because of the separation, and I... that it's probably right there on the computer screen. But because of the separation, if you were to add, if you look at last year's versus this year's, and you add the two figures that are now separate this year, is it pretty much compatible? Are we within the scope of it?
It's less than the budget for this year is less than last year.
It's a little bit less. If you add both figures, the budget item is a little bit less than what it was last year.
That's right.
Is that true?
I'm
adding 216 and 110, which is in the budget.
I'm saying if you break out the 165 that was reported as listener support last year, but would be booked as below 5,000 major donor income.
Gotcha. It wasn't accounted for separately last year. It was just in with your listener support. Well, I like the greater the detail and specificity, the more helpful it is to figure out how to target what we're doing financially. So that's good.
Okay. No, I'm very glad we're standardizing the use of the general ledger codes. And hopefully this will be the only year there's that confusion.
You hope.
Well,
I hope.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
Next year will be smoother.
God willing.
I should flag for you all that this budget still includes $451,000 in CPP money, and the money they initially allocated us was $150,000 less than that. And that's now under appeal, but we tried running the numbers through their formulas to see where we get if we get our minority portion back. We only make up about half that difference. So when I fed the reduced CPB grant through our budget, if we get none of it back, we're in deficit to the tune of about $70,000.
What is the lowest CPB figure possible?
300.
We should account for that in some sort of note, frankly, to approve the budget. There should be a proviso that gives the range between your low, midpoint, and high point, because it,
right.
Like, you know, an extra fund drive will have to be done or something to make up the difference if you end up in a deficit position.
So it's
I could draft something if you want to attach that as a proviso.
Yeah, I think that would give everyone greater comfort since this is an unknown quantity.
Sure. Well, it's a known range, right?
Well, yeah, the
right.
range is
right.
known, but where you'll end
right.
up is unknown.
Right.
So let me lay it out to you orally. If none of that money comes back through the appeal, that would throw this budget about $70,000 into the red.
And if half comes
back? But the plan would be at KPFA would be to drop a $55,000 phone system replacement that we had budgeted under capital.
Okay.
And that would almost offset it. Actually, I should run that number. The X factor for us is, in theory, our FSRN payments should go down as our CPB grant goes down.
Hmm.
But now Pacific is in contract to FSRN. I don't know what the terms of that contract are. But
Hello, Arpal.
I don't know whether we're still on the hook for a larger donation to FSRN or not. At any rate, if we get the minority portion of the grant back, which is about $70,000, it takes the budget to basically zero, a surplus of less than $1,000.
Sure.
So what does that do for your capital reserve and 1 month operating capital? I mean, you're not budgeting that in at all?
It's a flat break-even budget. I mean,
we're carrying
diminishing balances in some of our bank accounts. But
that's a...
Well, basically, you have a surplus here of $60,000. Is that correct?
Well, that's with
the big number,
the full funding.
The full funding, which I don't think
we
have a prayer of recovering all of it.
Okay.
Is there? I mean, we should make a stack. I'm sorry.
Well,
good idea.
Yes. Go ahead, Summer.
Well, it's a little problematic, in my opinion, approving a budget that does not have that 1 month reserve. I mean, we went through hell down here at KPFK and ran the fund drive into the ground to make sure that we, like, raised enough money, and we readjusted when we were running the fund drive, and we've readjusted it for next year and everything, because if the worst-case scenario happens on CPB funding, we can't approve a negative deficit budget. So, I mean, I would think you really have to write up, you know what I mean, what you're dropping if that worst-case scenario comes in, because I don't know that we could approve a you know, a budget with a deficit, and if that's a possibility of an outcome, it's really close to the bone without having any of that 1 month reserve. That's a good point.
I mean, perhaps we should get into some specificity, but you know, the one difference between KPFA and KPFK is still KPFA has money in the bank from years ago.
Okay, but I think
they have not exhausted it. So I agree that.
Well, they've run it down,
but there's still some left. But
I agree
that there should be some, you know, some specificity in our motion.
Well, I also think we
is it not also that KPFK still owes to in central office payments, or have those been fully satisfied?
No, I
don't think they've been fully satisfied. We're still satisfying them.
Yeah,
no,
so,
but I'm saying in terms of budgeting, budget in having the 1 month operating capital. And I'm just saying from, you know, our fiduciary perspective, we can't approve a negative deficit budget, so that has to be accounted for, so that if the worst case scenario happens with CPB funding, you have to be able to say this is what we're doing specifically, that's all.
Okay,
you know?
Well, perhaps the thing to do would say, you know, if you don't get, if you stuck with 300, you'll drop the phone system and if necessary make further staff cuts.
Yeah, I actually just ran it through the budget. So assuming the FSRN payment decreases proportionately with the CPP funding, that worst-case scenario deficit is $51,000. And
well, there
dropping the phone system would put us slightly into the black.
Well, there you go. I think we need to approve a budget that allows you to be in the black no matter what happens, okay?
I agree.
Doesn't have much latitude.
Mr. Chairman, like to be on the stack?
Okay, Summer, was there anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, Alberto.
Grace, I'd like to be on stack too.
Okay, Grace. Then after Alberto.
A couple of questions to my esteemed colleague, Brian Edward Sticker. Sir, can you tell me? And I'm sorry, but that I keep asking questions that are obvious. Can you tell me what is the listener support line item that you currently have in your budget that you're presenting before us, sir?
Sure. Second.
Please. I'm sorry.
For the budget year, it's $3,046,416.
And from your experience, that is a comfortable number that that you guys can live with.
You know, to reach that number, we had to extend the length of our fund drive. We won't spend as much time on the air fundraising as WBAI or KPFK, but we're still spending more than I'm comfortable with.
Given
the financial condition we're all facing, we have to make hard choices. There are significant cuts in the budget. I think some added fund drive days are better than making more cuts at this point.
And your fulfillment, what are you projecting for your fulfillment rate, more or less, ballpark figure for my ears? 85% fulfillment?
88.9.
Okay. And that's the first question, which had two parts. The second question, unfortunately, I cannot look at it. Can you give me an idea? What is the difference in the staff salary line item from last year to this year? And did you make some reductions in that particular area, sir?
So total salaries and related in fiscal year 2009, $2,579,000 in fiscal year, and that was with a couple unfilled positions.
Right.
In fiscal year 2010. $2,231,000.
And repeat the number for last year?
$2,579,000.
Okay. Did you keep those unfulfilled positions? Are they continuing to come roll over into 2010?
You know, I don't actually know the nature of the staff cuts.
Okay. Those are my questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Brian.
You bet.
Thank you, Alberto. And let's see, there was somebody else on the stack. Great.
Yes. The first thing is notice to Jamie that, I'm sorry I'm a little bit out of place here, but that you sent out an email asking for the latest budget for KPFA. Did you email that to us tonight?
The new budget?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I think Brian sent it to the list, but I can send it. Would you prefer to send it to the National Finance Committee? Yeah, do you want me to send it to your personal email?
That would be helpful. I'd appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
And I did have another question, but it slipped my mind right now. So come back to me later.
Just to clarify,
yeah,
there's
been no change
in the budgeted numbers, in the budget numbers since when this committee approved the budget. All we've changed is the fiscal year 2009 comparison numbers.
Okay. I do have a question, and that's, Brian, what is the total unrestricted reserves that KPFA has at this time?
I don't know what it is right now.
Okay.
It depends on whether those CDs have been released back to cash or not.
Okay.
Well, this is Summer. Can I be on the stack?
Yes.
Am I there?
Yeah, you go for
okay.
it.
Okay. What I'm thinking, you know, Brian, not to give you extra work, because we all love that, but in whatever notes that Cover provides of, you know, not installing a phone system or whatever, we can never approve a negative deficit budget. I mean, you can't do that. But I would think maybe also just having that information available of, you know, what's available in those cash reserves should they become necessary if a deficit should occur. You know what I mean? Those type of notes. If you cover all the bases, then we should be fine on approving a budget, I think, even if there is, you know, an unknown quantity. So it just might be helpful to have that information as well.
Sure.
Okay. Are there any other questions about the KPFA budget? Okay, then we need a motion to approve it. Let's see. So last week we had some beautiful language.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Liz.
Thank you. I think there was some question as to whether KPFA would reduce the number of staff they have. Has that happened? And if so, how is it reflected in the budget?
As of last week, it had not happened. It's reflected in the budget in a decrease in the salary and related line. This last FY 2009, the actual in the total salary and related was $2.58 million. This year, the budgeted is $2.23 million. So there's a budgeted cut of $350,000 in total salary and related.
The other thing is, I'm concerned that we are still across the network. Most of us seem to be comfortable with extending our fund drives. I'm not sure that's a very good thing to be getting used to.
Yes. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with it. But the fact is we have to make costs, and, you know, we sort of have to balance different things. I don't know what to say. I agree with you. After a certain point, it's never a great idea. And after a certain point, it becomes a bad idea. On
non-productive.
The other hand, you know, the best way to make more money is, you know, to increase your audience size and have such great programming and so many people love it that it's very easy to make a lot of money. And our stations are not necessarily in that status, and we do have to make our money. So this is what, you know, I think it definitely behooves us to keep track of how stations lengthen their days, because lengthening fund drives is a sign of, you know, it's a real sign of non-sustainability. So
yeah,
we definitely need to monitor that. It's not a good thing. It may be a necessary thing, but it's not a good thing.
And I would add that if you just look at listener support without looking at how many days it took you to reach that level of support, extended fund drives can mask a declining trend.
Of course.
On your income statement.
Exactly.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. You can't see.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And And Mr. Chairman, Stack?
Just one more point. If most of us agree with this, then what do we do? Because to me, when we extend the fund drives like this, we drive people away. So I believe we have to have a strategy. Either we do it for a very limited period, and after that, that's it.
Well, you know, what we could do on the Finance Committee, Luzette, is kind of note it. You know,
okay.
Let the PNB
all
know
right.
That this is what's going on. This is how the stations are making
okay.
their ends meet. And, you know, kind of, you know, if after a certain point it gets out of, it's beyond a Finance Committee issue.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, or it's a strategic issue. How,
right, okay.
You know.
I agree.
You know, kind of, if we didn't have to do it, we wouldn't do it. You know, it's kind of like in a way, it's like eating seed corn.
Mm.
Okay, but let's see. Can we get some language for a motion here? So the actual CMPB.
So I would move the NFC recommends the PNB approve the KPFA budget with the proviso that if KPFA does not prevail in its appeal of CPB grant allocation, KPFA defer its $55,000 phone system upgrade in order to bring its budget into balance. And that KPFA supply updated cash reserve and cash flow information.
Sounds good.
There you go.
Need to do that again a little slowly.
I'm going to send it to you in writing.
Maybe
good evening, Arpal.
Arpal.
Okay, so you can email that to us?
Yeah. And as I'm sending it, if it's okay, I would just say, with regard to the issue Luzette raised, we kind of adopted a budgeting policy before we entered budgeting season during last year's budgeting cycle that said if you're spending more than 60 days a year in fund drive, you have to create a one-month surplus. I think that was it. No, if you're spending more than 60 days a year in fund drive, you can only budget listener support at 5% less than what you're currently raising.
Right.
So there, it was long fund drives as a trigger for other budgeting measures.
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. So this has been sent?
Yeah, I hit send on it.
Okay, so let's check it out. Your language that you sent right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't got it. Okay. Just a moment.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, there it is. How about that? Okay, so let's see. I've got this. So why don't I read it out, and then we'll see how we vote. Motion. Approve KPFA budget with the proviso that if KPFA does not prevail in its appeal of the CFPB grant, KPFA defers its $55,000 phone system upgrade in order to bring its budget into balance. And two, KPFA supply updated cash reserve and cash flow information. Just so you know, the point of number two is that the cash flow document in the current budget does not reflect the fact that KPFA received $320,000, got redesignated out of, that was the money that was collateral for a line of credit that's no longer collateral, but somehow it's still sitting in monthly CDs and it's not listed as unrestricted cash.
Yeah, I don't think it reflects anything. Right now that cash flow document says our opening balance is an extremely round number, which is very unlikely.
Okay.
An extremely round number. I like
okay.
that.
Well, and what about a KPFA supply updated cash reserve? We should say that... So we say we kind of need a date there. We'd like to get that soon.
What's your deadline with the PNB?
Well, let's say by 11:30.
Oh, give us something earlier than that.
Yeah.
Okay. What today's the 10th?
No. Whenever is the PNB's meeting again?
Yeah.
Well, the PNB's meeting Sunday night.
Well,
the PNB's kind of like this committee now.
Well.
Okay, why don't I ask our business manager to get it done by end of business Friday?
Yay.
Okay, so that's the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Okay, by the 13th.
You know.
Right? Is that good?
Sure.
I mean, I can't say for 100% certainty that she'll be able to do it, but she finished her close for the last month, so...
It's not a lot of data you're asking for.
It's just a number.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, if she can get the opening balance right, it should all flow from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good. So then we're going to add that language.
So part supply two updated. Reads, so part two reads KPFA supply updated cash reserve and cash flow information by end of business on November 13th?
Yes.
To be made available to the PMB.
Well, supply. I don't know. Supply to.
That provide.
Provide.
Not supply.
Provide to National Finance Committee. Provide to NFC. Okay, so are there any objections to this motion? If you object, we can review the budget some more.
No, please, no.
I want to object.
You do?
No.
Okay, so I don't hear any objections, so it looks like we have approved that budget. Good?
Moving on.
Okay, good work. So that's three down. Plus, we've looked at the other two. We've looked at PRA and National Office. So now we have a brand new one for you all, the WBAI budget.
Ooh.
Now,
I have a question.
Grace, did you get this?
The National Finance Committee report?
I sent it to the National Finance Committee, but I don't know if I sent it to you directly.
Let me see if I have the National Finance Committee.
Here, I'll just email it to you.
All right.
Is there anybody else that does not have the budget, the BAI budget? I sent it in an email marked readable BAI budget because their first one wasn't readable. Okay, I guess everybody's got it then. Well, then why don't we start looking at it? Unfortunately, we don't have LaVarne or Berthold, but we can certainly look at it now, and if we have questions, we can save them for them.
Well, you can flag them and put the questions on the side.
Exactly. Okay, so why don't we look at our Paul, are you familiar with this budget?
Yes, somewhat. I'm bringing it up right here.
Hold on,
we're loading it. Slowly, apparently. Okay. All right. Can we hold on 1 minute? Because I have my notes on paper.
On paper?
I'm going to run out of the room and
pick
up paper.
Paper.
Ooh, paper, not electronic. Ooh. 1 second.
I can't believe that.
Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah. So let's see. And along with the budget came budget assumptions. Did you guys get those? Did I forward them?
You did.
Okay, R. Paul's 19th century accounting system is in the house.
make Patchouli cry.
All right. Okay, now. For those who were picking away at some things, the infamous line 42 has been corrected to not say $85 million, which nobody sane thought was really being put in there.
Line 42?
Well,
hey, Campbell.
Hello. All right.
Wow. An $85 million surplus would have fixed all our problems.
Yeah, well, that's why I think nobody sane thought that was anything other than a typo. Okay. All right, now. Let me look at my paper and compare it to... I've not seen the spreadsheet, so this is the same, however. So, okay. There's... listener support is being projected to be 720 grand better for FY10 than in FY09. The reason for this is based on how things have gone for the past number of thons. We have, in fact, done significantly better. And management is feeling that we can continue on that trend and it will altogether come up to this number. And oh, I'm contorting here. I'm holding paper and I'm trying not to destroy the computer. Anyway,
don't destroy the computer.
Yeah, I'm trying not to drop stuff on a keyboard is what I'm doing. And anyway, so, yeah, that's a big number. That's a big number to me. But in the assumptions somewhere here, under the paper, in assumptions, management is suggesting that... things are better, and that they're assuming that that they can basically make this in the listener support area, and I think everybody has. Oh God! Okay, remember when I said I shouldn't let things get on the keyboard?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I have to bring this up again because I just pressed something on it all. Anyway, you can see where in the assumptions that management is saying that based on the better fundraising that we've had for the past, 3 thons here, and a higher goal time than we had last year, that management believes we can in fact do this 720 grand better in FY10.
For a total loss?
A total of total listener support of 2.788 million. You want to say anything about that?
Okay, yeah, why don't we comment, because the listener support number is, our budgets are funny. The listener support number is just one number, but it's probably more important than dozens of the other numbers put together. This is a good point. Is that increase too high? I don't believe we've made 2.7 or 2.8 million in listener support for many years. I looked at the, just a little background. I believe I sent you all a little workup I did, you know, to answer. One of the directors had a question because I had made an assertion somewhere that our income had increased since May, and one of the directors asked, you know, why do you think so? I did put together a sheet showing why I did think so based on both MEMPSIS and income statement data. And, drive income did increase substantially since May this year compared to earlier this year, and drive income increased, you know, small, I mean, maybe 10% over last year. Drive income since May has 10% better than last year. An issue at BAI in drives recently, not since May, more like since April or even February, is our fulfillment has been really lousy, you know, barely 70%, in some cases not even that. If they can get the drive goals where they are have been recently, and they can get fulfillment that BAI got a few, like last year or the year before, which is about 76%, it seems possible they can make most of this number. So one of the issues is the board needs to be satisfied that BAI's fulfillment problems that cropped up earlier this year, and is to the best of my understanding, were recognized in recent months and started to be addressed, if those really have been fixed, such that we get the fulfillment that we got in FY08 and years before, when we did get around 76%.
Can I be on the stack?
Yes, you can be. And so that's one issue that the board needs to satisfy itself on. I do believe that the drive goals that are in this budget, which can be found on the revenue tab, are reasonable. If you go on the revenue tab, which is the second tab in, and this is the page with pink and light blue and light green and a little orange color gray.
Oh, yeah, the colors in the center.
Yeah, so they had a goal for the October drive of $825,000. Actually, the reported, we just finished that drive at BAI, and the reported tally was $882,000. So that goal was not only met but exceeded. The January goal, we do a one day on Martin Luther King Day. They had $65,000. Last year, I believe we did $52,000. So $65,000 is not out of line. February is another long drive. Again, they have the goal is $825,000. And that again, it seems like a makeable goal, given that we just made $889,000 in a similar length drive, and they have a similar goal for the next big drive in May. These are in column E on the budget on the revenue tab as you go down, and then in August 2010 they have a goal of $675,000. We had an August drive this year that brought in I think $618,000. So these goals, the drive goals, I think, are acceptable. The question is, can we be satisfied that fulfillment will improve? And another issue that I had with listener support is if you go into the revenue tab and you go over to cell T35,
T as in Tom.
T35. You get the number of $160,000. This is the amount of money that's projected to be collected in FY210 from FY09 drive. I wonder if that's a little bit high. I wonder about that number. So it's basically the listener support number for me is the fulfillment number and a little bit of that number. I do believe the drive goals are reasonable. Oh, and let's see, another aspect of listener support, it's unfortunate that listener support is such a bundled number. We have direct mail income. It's not a big number, but $13,000 and mail renewals of $13,000. Those aren't broken out by what we did this year, so it's a little hard to know how realistic that is. It's not that big of a number.
My impression is that's not really different from previous years.
Okay, the mail stuff.
Also, let me say one of the things Matt points out is they're assuming $825,000 for the February thon, and there was only $554,000 in nine. So the assumption is that it's better based on it. Right there, you've got a nice chunk of the listener support increase. I'm a little dicey on some of it, but, you know. Also, in terms of fulfillment, I think I think the fulfillment issues have been recognized, and the issues around that are, I think, probably dealt with, as opposed to previously when they sort of blindsided everybody.
But, you know, as far as I agree they've been recognized, I don't know, we haven't seen, you know, we haven't seen a drive that, you know, we don't have proof that it's going to work. I do believe they've been recognized.
Fulfillment improvement, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things...
You mean you don't know if it'll increase as much as budgeted?
Well, you know, I think they're... I believe that they've recognized they have fulfillment problems and taken steps to right them. But we haven't seen a drive that has done both the big number, the big pledge goal, and got good fulfillment.
A big percentage.
I have some information about that.
Okay. R. Paul, are you done?
Well, let's hear what Grace has to say, and maybe y'all have something to say about fulfillment, maybe not. Let's see.
Okay, Grace.
Okay. I talked to Bertold Reimers yesterday afternoon. The WBAI fund drive finished on Sunday night. As of yesterday afternoon, the fulfillment of this drive was a little over 50% already, which means the significant adjustments have already been made by, I imagine, pushing the fund drive phone answers to get more credit card pledging done. So right after the drive, if it's at a little over 50%, that bodes well for the fulfillment for this particular drive. The second piece of information is that we have contracted with ComNet, which is the company that KPFA and KPFT used fairly successfully. It's even a better bet at WBAI, which has a lot of difficulty with all the logistics that go into creating good fulfillment. So we're going to be using ComNet to retrieve some of the receivables from the spring, summer, and even the current drive. And then we're going to be doing a lapsed member drive later after that. So we will probably see some upside in the fulfillment for the spring through the end of the 2009 fiscal year, and continued ongoing better fulfillment in this current drive and future drive.
Okay, I'd like to. That's a good point, Grace. One thing, you raised the issue about ComNet. It's important to recognize with this budget. The ComNet income, as I understand, comes in on a completely separate income line, which is row 14, telemarketing, which is listed as generating $276,000 in income. So the money that, as I understand, is generated through that practice is over and above listener support and the fulfillment there. So I don't know that I don't understand what's being proposed well enough to know whether ComNet is actually going to improve fulfillment, that's going to improve money that shows up into the listener support line, or whether all ComNet's efforts are going to be devoted towards line 14, telemarketing.
Or whether it's double budgeted.
Right. It could be. You know, it does seem, you know...
That's
a
good point. We'll have to check and make sure it's not double budgeted. What fulfillment rate? Can anyone figure out what the fulfillment rate for each of the...
They're budgeting at a fulfillment rate of 76%, which, you know, is reasonable given BAI's history. The only time we've, you know, substantially missed it is the current year. So it's not out of the... It's not completely out of, you know, it's not a number that we've never done before. But this year we've had a problem, and, you know.
Mr. Chairman?
So that's the current number is 76%.
Yes,
yes,
at WBAI, was severely cut in the austerity measures taken in early fiscal year of 2009, late in the fall. WBAI is woefully understaffed in income administration, which is probably the main cause of the lowered fulfillment. They're just simply, there are 5.5 full-time equivalents at KPFK, which is pretty efficient when it comes to fund drive administration, whereas at WBAI there are only 2 full-time equivalents, which is just impossible to do, and especially as the fund drives at WBAI are more complicated and lengthier than at KPFK, let's say. But making a comparison, 2 people simply cannot do the work of 5.5 people. It's impossible. So that needs to be looked at as a high priority, and that's part of the reason that we're going to be trying to retrieve some of the receivables through ComNet, because the staffing is just inadequate for the job at WBAI, and unfortunately, up till this point, because of back bills that had to be paid off, specifically $292,000 in back rent, it was not possible to justify staffing, although maybe that was a mistake. Maybe it should have been done anyway. But that's something that needs to be rectified, and I would consider that something that our Paul maybe you want to look at in the budget.
Grace, I have a question for you. You mentioned this number, $292,000 in back rent. When did BII exactly owe $292,000 in back rent?
According to receipts, bills from the landlord, we were 4 months in arrears. None of the rent on the office had been paid.
As of April 1st?
I believe so.
Yeah,
April
1st, the total rent due was $200,000, almost flat.
On the office?
No, on both.
Okay, well, possibly it was mid to late April.
Okay.
I'm not
okay.
sure of the exact time, but I believe that the payment plan, it's $250,000 a year plus utilities. There's rent and utilities on the office rent and the tower rental. So the monthly payment is not exactly the same month to month. So if you take
The reason I ask is because when we looked into this in detail, it was right after April 1st and we got, you know, the reports, and it added up to about 200 or 200,000.
205.
Yeah, 205. I don't know when we owed 292. I'm wondering. Was that later
in that
month?
That was the office rent and the tower back rent.